Praise the Lord, saints. Praise the Lord. Amen. This is Pastor DM giving honor to God for our being here today. Thanking the Lord for another opportunity that He has given us. Amen. We don't take it lightly that God has given us this day to praise Him. It is truly the Lord's day. Every day is the Lord's day, but we give honor to God. He told us to do your labor in 6 days, and the Sabbath is a day of rest unto the Lord your God. I know we live in a world where the Old Testament is treated as the Old Testament. Amen. But it is part of the whole counsel of God, and we don't take it lightly that God has given us a day to rest from our labor. Amen. I don't know about you, but I work online, and I thank God for a day of rest to sit at His feet and to learn of His word. So let me just say we honor the Lord today for our being here with you. I thank God that once again my voice is able to preach. Amen. I don't count it lightly that God has told me to cry and shout my voice in this culture and in this world, and tell people what God is saying, what thus saith the Lord. So we just honor God for this point, this moment, this time to be with you and to learn of His word. Amen. And we're honored to have you here with us. Amen. We truly do honor the Lord for this ministry, how God has blessed us. Amen. And we're just so honored and delighted and excited that you are here with us. Amen. Today, we're not going to be before you long, but if you have your sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and you always should, I'm going to ask that you would turn with me to the Gospel of Mark. Amen. The Gospel of Mark. For those of you that have not listened to the sermon selection, I suggest you listen to it, amen, before hearing this sermon, because the song is truly the cry of my heart, and I believe it is the cry of the heart of every Christian, that the Lord would speak, O Lord, until your church is built and the earth is filled with your glory. That is the cry of my heart, that the Lord would continue to speak. Amen. I get emotional when I think about that song. That is the cry of my heart. That is my prayer, that the Lord would continue to speak, because we live in a time of spiritual famine. But you know what? There is a word. There is a word from the Lord. Amen. There is a word from the Lord that will give us water in dry places. Amen. So I just believe God is still speaking. If God is not speaking where you are listening, perhaps it's the case that you are in an oasis. You are in a desert. Amen. But if you want to get closer to the Lord, amen, and truly hear from Him, amen, you have to go where the word of life is preached. And I just thank God that He has given a word this day. Turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. Mark, chapter 1. We're going to read verses 16 through 20. Mark 1, 16 through 20. And if God give me the ability and the voice to preach and make it through this sermon, amen, we will be brief. Amen. I believe God's word can be preached, and at times it is to be brief. Amen. 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 Mark chapter 1, verses 16 through 20, beginning at verse 16, and it reads, "And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men.' They immediately left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the boat mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after him." Today I'm going to preach on the subject of better business. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we come to thank you, God, for this day. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this time that you've given us, God. We don't count it lightly that because of your grace and your mercy, Lord, you've spared us another day. And Lord, we just want to say thank you. God, as we come now, it is preaching time, Lord. It is time to give your people the word that you have given me. Oh, Lord, I give of myself, Father, to your service, to your task, because this is truly your calling. God, I ask now that you would prepare our hearts and minds to hear and receive your word, that, Lord, you would remove all distraction so that we can hear no one and nothing but you. Oh, Lord, now I ask that you would be pleased with my words this day as your preacher. God, I pray for all preachers across the land this day as they preach your word. Lord, as they stand to proclaim your truth. God, now I ask that you would let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart to be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, speak, O Lord. Speak, O Lord, until your church is built and the whole earth is filled with your glory. We ask it all in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. We do pray. And all of God's people say amen, amen, and amen. A better business. A better business. The coronavirus pandemic has all businesses on halt. U.S. President Donald Trump is declaring three phases to reopening the economy, which of course includes businesses. And his plan includes reopening churches and allowing them to congregate as well. For now, churches remain closed, as is the case for all other non-essential businesses. Governors will be allowed to determine if their states are ready to bounce back to some level of normalcy. The lockdown order hasn't stopped some Christians, however, from rebelling against federal, state, and county orders to stay at home and remain in isolation over the last few weeks. Pastor Rodney Howard Brown of the River Church in Tampa, Florida, held services at the end of March despite the order to desist meeting. He said, quote unquote, in a newspaper, "We are not a non-essential service." The statement was made in reference to the fact that churches are deemed non-essential businesses. By the term essential business, state and federal governments refer to companies that cannot offer services if they are closed. These essential businesses must be open to offer services to customers. For example, your phone and internet company cannot close down entirely, otherwise they can't repair your phone and internet lines in the event of a problem. Grocery stores and gas stations are also essential businesses. If they close, customers cannot get the food they need. And if gas stations close, essential workers for essential businesses cannot fuel their vehicles to get to and from work. Hospitals are a definite essential business. Without them, there is no healing to be done for the sick. Nurses, doctors, nursing assistants, and other medical personnel are essential workers. Grocery store cashiers, baggers, and unloaders from the trucks are essential workers. If by essential business, one refers to a company that cannot offer services if closed, the church then, by definition, is a non-essential business. It is not an essential business. First, the church is not a company. The church is the bride of Christ. It is an assembly of believers, a gathering of believers in the same space together to worship their God. The church is not like a company that has a CEO. Pastors lead their congregations, but they are not CEOs. That hasn't stopped some pastors from calling themselves CEOs, but the truth is they're not. They're not heading up a corporation. They're the pastor, the under-shepherd of a local flock of God. God is not interested in building corporations. He's interested in building his church. The church building may be a legal entity in this world for those who gather locally, but it is not a corporation or legal entity to God. The church is the bride for which he died. Remember the words of Paul in Ephesians? Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Not only is the church not a company, the church is also different from essential businesses in that the church can offer worship services outside the physical building. The church can offer worship services online for those who still desire to gather. Believers can still gather online. There is a way for the church to still assemble despite not being able to gather in the same physical space. There is the building, but then there is the gathering of believers. We can still worship despite the loss of access to the building. In that regard, then, no, we are not an essential business. We are not an essential service either. And we don't require a building to gather. Plenty of churches are gathering online now in the pandemic, and plenty of churches have been gathering online for years. And aside from this, what we must understand is that the church is not an essential business because we're not about the same business as essential businesses. Essential businesses are about money, whether that be collecting money for rent, phone service, internet, or some other service, or requiring payment for products. These essential businesses also sell products for purchase. The church is not a business based on money or the buying and selling of products and services. I know traditional churches have made a living out of passing the offering plate for two or three different offerings in the same service, but the church exists for something far more, far greater than money. Jesus shows us as much when he tosses out the money changers, buyers and sellers in the temple in Mark chapter 11, verses 15 through 17. Jesus said there that his house will be called a house of prayer for all nations, not a marketplace or a retail store. Some churches are still trying to buy and sell in their borders, but the church is not designed for retail purchases. The church is designed to be a place of worship, of gathering, of meditation in the word of God and prayer. So no, the church is not an essential business like AT&T, Sprint, Verizon, T-Mobile, Kroger, Food Line, Lowe's Home Improvement, Home Depot, Target, Spectrum, CenturyLink, Walmart, McDonald's, Burger King, Waffle House, IHOP, and local hospitals and homeless shelters. We don't exist for the same purpose that they do. They exist to provide services and charge money, or else they exist to help and aid the sick in their physical needs. And those are the services for which they exist, and they only exist. The church, on the other hand, is, as the sermon title says, a better business. We exist to praise and worship our God, to be a healing and helping station for the sick, poor, lost, and dying. Unlike local hospitals, we shouldn't turn people away because they can't afford to pay dollars and cents for treatment. We are to provide the word for the lost, anoint and pray for the sick, love on everyone that comes into our midst. We are to offer the hopeless hope by telling them about the blessed hope whose name is Jesus. The church offers hope, prayer, comfort, and worship for the world. We don't accept paychecks at the door or demand them when people gather in. Whether they can put something in the offering plate or not, we don't turn anyone away. And we don't make money our king. Our king, our Lord and Savior, is Jesus Christ. Essential businesses in the world worship the almighty dollar, but we worship God Almighty, King Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So no, the church is not an essential business according to the world's definition. Thank God we're not essential as the world sees it. But make no mistake, the church has a business of its own to attend to. And it is this business of the church, this better business that Jesus talks about in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 16 through 20. Here in the passage, we read that Jesus had been baptized by his cousin, John the Baptist. Jesus submits to baptism, and John says that Jesus the greater came to be baptized of him as though it were a strange thing, but Jesus says that it would be so to fulfill all righteousness. Our Lord didn't leave one stone unturned in his mission to come to save his people from their sins. Because remember, his name is Jesus. And the angel Gabriel told Joseph, you will call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The name Jesus means Savior. And that's who Jesus is, our Savior. And after his baptism, Jesus goes into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights where he is tempted by Satan. Mark doesn't give any details about the temptations. He leaves the detailing of the wilderness temptations to Matthew and Luke. And after Jesus resists Satan's temptations, he then begins to preach the good news of the gospel of the kingdom of God to everyone. Jesus' message is simple: repent and believe the gospel. But he doesn't do the hard work of evangelism alone. No, Jesus didn't live in 21st century America or the 21st century Western world where individualism, doing something by oneself, being self-sufficient, characterizes the attitude of many Christians. No, he believed that teamwork makes the dream work. And so to this end, he chose 12 disciples. Today's text provides the names of 4 of the 12, 2 pairs of brothers, the first pair being Simon and Andrew, and the second pair being James and John, the sons of Zebedee, their father. Both sets of brothers were fishermen. Their livelihood involved going out to sea, working all sorts of hours to catch fish. Then, once they caught the fish, and the next day get their boat to shore to offload the fish. Catching fish was their essential business. They offered food to the citizens of their community who couldn't catch it themselves. Perhaps it's the case the brothers caught the fish and sold the majority of the catch while keeping some for themselves. After all, they, the fishermen, had to eat too. And they were busy being about their essential business when Jesus called them to a better business. He said in Mark 1:17, "Follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men." And it says that whether they were casting their nets or mending their nets, it says they left their nets. Both sets of brothers left their nets to follow Christ. They left their fathers and mothers, sisters and brothers, all their families and friends to follow Jesus. First, Jesus tells Peter and Andrew and James and John to follow him. You can't do the work of the Lord if you don't follow Christ. The work Christians are doing in the world isn't just humanitarian work. When an agency or group does humanitarian work, they allow anyone, faith profession or not, to work with them and help feed the hungry, clothe the naked, give food and drink to the hungry and thirsty, find shelter for the homeless, and so on. But the work Christians do is a better business than humanitarian work. Why, you may ask? Because we care not only for the body, but also for the soul. As the Apostle John says to Gaius in his letter in 3 John verses 1 and 2, "I pray that you be in good health and prosper even as your soul prospers." John prayed for Gaius's physical and spiritual health and prosperity. And Christians like John and like Jesus himself are concerned about both the physical and the spiritual. I preached on 3 John 2 weeks ago for those of you who may not know. And the title of the sermon was "Prospering in the Pandemic." Christians aren't just humanitarian. We don't just care for the body. They like their Lord, we like our Lord, care for the soul, the spiritual prosperity of the individual. So in order to do this better business God has called us to, we must first follow him. That means that we come to him. We receive him as Lord and Savior. It means that we accept Jesus on his terms, not on our terms. To follow Jesus, to become a disciple of Jesus, means to learn of Jesus. For the word disciple in the original language means learner. This is why Jesus says in Matthew 11:28-29, to take my yoke upon you and learn from me. To come after Jesus, to follow him, is to learn from him. You have to become a student of Jesus in order to follow him. Can't follow someone if you don't study them, learn from them, and observe them. To embark upon this better business, you must first follow Jesus. He is your Lord, your Savior, and your example. And how do we know who he is, how he works, and what he does in the world? We read his word, the Bible, the Holy Scriptures, which tell us everything we need to know about Jesus. Now, the disciples in this day and time, in their day, they didn't have the Holy Scriptures. They had the Word himself, whom, as John says in John chapter 1, was with God, and at the same time was God, and was in the beginning with God. They had the Word himself, who made all things, John says, and that without him, nothing was made that was made. They had the Word himself, Jesus Christ. And today, we have the words of God left in his Holy Scriptures. And if we're born in this COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic, we need to be reading the word, because that's the only way that we can follow Jesus. Have you ever heard of someone following guidelines but doesn't read to know what they are. He can't follow the guidelines God has set if you don't read His Word. It is called His Word for a reason. To embark upon a better business, God's business, you must follow Him and you must read His Word to know who He is and how He works. Now, many of us have read the verse in the King James Version of Scripture where it says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. But in the original language, there's a phrase that is included, an extra phrase, and the phrase is to become. So the verse reads, follow me and I will make you to become fishers of men. This is important because when you become something, it doesn't happen overnight. It takes time, a process, a gradual transformation to become something that you aren't initially. So what Jesus is saying here is that as you follow Him, as you read His Word, He will transform you to become fishers of men. Now, Peter, Andrew, James, and John had been fishermen who were fishing for fish. But now, in following Jesus, they would become fishermen who would fish for men. They would join a better business, have a better agenda, better work to do. What does it mean to become fishers of men? It means to win souls. Fishermen for Christ do not save souls. We can't save anybody, but we can win souls for Christ. In fact, the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30, that he who wins souls is wise. The wise person wins souls. The wise believer wins people to Christ. Think back to our fishermen now. When they were out there fishing, they didn't just sit on the dock of the bay watching the tide roll away, as the song says. No, they didn't just sit there getting their feet wet and hope someone else would come along and do the fishing. Instead, they got in the boat, went out into the water, attached the bait to the fish hook, and began to cast their net, their fish hook into the sea. And sometimes they would fish all night long. They wouldn't let up and head back to shore until they caught something. Fishing takes hard work, but for these disciples, it was their essential business. Jesus tells them about discipleship in words that they could understand. Follow me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. They understood what Jesus meant because they knew what it meant to fish for fish. So they knew that when they would be catching men, they knew they'd be winning souls to Christ. And to them, winning souls was a better business than catching seafood. I must admit, you know, I love fishing. I love fish. I don't do no fishing, but I love to eat fish. And I gotta admit, those fish are rather tasty. But as much as I love eating fish, I enjoy the task of winning souls a whole lot more. What about you? Do you understand what it means as children of God to be true fishermen, fishers of men? There are some believers during this COVID-19 pandemic that are tired of sitting at home. I'm bored, they say. I can't do this much longer. Sitting around in the house, I've got nothing to do. And yet, if we're children of God, if we've been saved and sanctified and filled with God's Holy Spirit, we've got plenty of work to do. In this better business, we've got plenty of work to keep us busy. We can call neighbors and friends and witness over the phone about Jesus. How many of us have witnessed for Jesus by phone lately? There's the fact that we can witness to our neighbor by talking to them across the field, even while practicing social distancing guidelines. We can witness to coworkers, friends, acquaintances, someone we just met on Facebook, and so on. We've got video chat on which we can witness to the lost as well. We've got plenty of work to keep us occupied because we're in a better business than essential businesses. Then there are those who've lost loved ones due to sickness or even COVID-19. How many of us have written them to express our condolences and let them know we care? We can do it on a video chat, email, text, phone call, and so on. We can do this from the confines of our own homes without stepping one inch outside the front door. And yet, have we written someone lately? Pastor, I don't know where to go, you might say. Well, I got free advice. Go to Twitter and get a free account. There are plenty of people there having discussions about the coronavirus pandemic and mourning the loss of their family members and friends to COVID-19. You don't have to know them personally to write a message expressing your sorrow over their loss. Have we not lost relatives and friends? Okay, then we can understand their pain without knowing them personally. Go on and write somebody and show your love. It won't hurt, I promise. With witnessing to the lost via email, phone calls, and texts, and having Bible studies and worship services online, and reading the Word of God, the Bible, we've got plenty of work to do in this better business. And the best part of it all is that, unlike essential businesses, we can do it for the rest of our lives. Even now, while essential businesses are struggling to stay afloat in the pandemic, Christians have a better business on their hands. We have a better business to tend to. We can stay afloat whether there's a pandemic or not. We can worship even in the pandemic. Meeting in our homes and meeting online doesn't stop our praise and worship to King Jesus. We can still witness for Christ to the lost and win souls for him, even in the pandemic. Yes, we can still prosper in this pandemic, not because of who we are, but because of who Jesus is, because he's given us a better business to be in. And this better business is winning souls. I'd rather win a soul any day than make money. Have you ever heard the phrase gone fishing? Usually when someone says he's gone fishing, they're saying that the person is out of the office and won't be back for a while. When a person is gone fishing, they're out doing something important. They're out fishing and they don't want to be disturbed. In this pandemic, we Christians should be gone fishing too. The offices are closed. The secular work is closed. There's no work to do. And so for now, God has entrusted to our care the work that he's called us to do. Be fishermen. Be fishers of men. Jesus said it best when he was arrested. He said before Pontius Pilate, "My kingdom is not of this world." His kingdom is not of this world, and our business as fishermen is not of this world either. It is of a better world, the world to come, and therefore it is a better business. It isn't an essential business, but instead a better business, an eternal business. In the days ahead, let us be like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's be about our Father's business. Amen, amen, amen. This is the word of the Lord, a better business, a better business. There may be someone out there today who has not been employed in this better business, but I got good news for you. Today is a day, amen, that you can enter into the family of God. You can enter into the family business this day, amen. If you want to be saved and turn from your sins and turn to your Lord, today is as good a day as any. Amen. We're going to ask that you all would pray, amen. And for those who want to be saved, we're going to ask that you would pray along with us. Amen. Praying the prayer of salvation is not going to save you. It's believing in your heart, believing in Jesus, that he is not only your Lord, but he's your Savior, that he died on the cross for you, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus, and that whoever believes in Jesus shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you now for your word, a better business, Lord. We thank you that you have called us to a better business. We thank you that we are not in an essential business as the world defines it, Lord. We're in a better business. We're in an eternal business. We're not about making money. We're not about buying and selling products. We're about winning souls to you, making disciples for the kingdom of God. Now as we come, Lord, we ask that you would hide this word in our hearts, that we would apply it to our lives, Lord, that we would submit ourselves as your disciples and be about our Father's business. That like these disciples in this time, we would not worry about the secular things. We wouldn't worry about the essential business, but that if we're unemployed, God, you've given us time to do your work, to witness to the lost and dying, Lord, to preach the gospel, even on social media, God, even through video chat, Lord, we can still do your work. No, Lord, the pandemic has stopped essential businesses, but it hasn't stopped your eternal business. God, as we come, we ask now, though, we pray, Lord, for those who will receive you as their Lord and Savior. And Lord, if they believe in their hearts, we're going to ask that they would pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, Lord, I realize that I'm a sinner. I realize that I cannot save myself because I am a sinner. But Lord, I believe that you died for my sins. And I believe that you rose on the third day. And this happened because of the love of God. And by faith, Lord, I have received Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. God, come into my life today and make me anew. And Lord, like these disciples, I give it all up to follow you. Lord, I thank you for my salvation. And I anxiously await the day when you will return to receive me unto yourself, that where you are, there I will be also. Thank you, Lord, for your salvation. And help me occupy until you come. And we ask this all in the name of the one who died for us, and in the name of the one who rose for us, and in the name of the one who is coming again for us, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it is in his name that we pray. Amen. 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 Before we go, I just want to challenge you for this week. You know, I noticed on Easter Sunday, what we call sunrise, that if you went on Facebook, you would notice there were a lot of posts on Facebook about Easter Sunday. Most Easter Sundays are usually about people buying new outfits, going on Easter egg hunts, painting Easter eggs, coloring Easter eggs, eating Easter, chocolate Easter bunnies. I mean, you know, all of these things that we put on Facebook. But how many of us on Easter went on Facebook and preached the gospel? Better yet, how many of us are going to go this week online and tell somebody about Jesus? That's my challenge for you this week, is that you wouldn't live in this world and think like this world. Remember, we are in this world, but we are not of this world. Amen. Don't think like the essential businesses. Easter has become marketing money, retail business for shopping businesses. But we are not of this world, folks. We are of an eternal business. So while the retailers and shoppers have only thought about making money and marketing, let's think about our job as fishermen. We're not fishing for shopping. We're fishing for men, the souls of men. Amen. The scriptures say that the light shines in darkness when Jesus came. But how are we the light of the world? Because he is. How are we going to bring the light into this dark world if we don't shine it? Amen. I challenge you this week to let your light shine before men, that they would see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Don't spend time talking about all the retail stuff. I can't go shopping. I can't do this. Spend your time talking about Jesus. Because you know what? The business of soul winning never closes. It's open Monday, Sunday to Sunday, 24/7, 365 days a year and beyond. Amen. This business will never close. Amen. Let us be like Jesus about our Father's business. Amen. We love you. We're going to say the benediction. Amen. And then we're going to dismiss. Let us raise our right hands. Now may the love and the grace and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. And all of God's people say amen, amen, and amen. We love you. We thank God for you. And we'll see you again next week.